that was one of the best derbies that I've seen in a very long time. And it was, which says a lot, because we've had some really fun matches. And
that 5-2 derby match, that it always just pops into my head, like the Lamella Rabona goal, but then right after that, it's just battering. And I'm just like, huh. I would say the lowest point was when Arteta lost 3-0 against Tottenham, probably in that, I want to say either his first full season in charge. Yeah, that one was like, wow, that I wasn't calling for him to be out. That was when you started calling for him to be gone. Hey, everybody, welcome, welcome, welcome. It is Dem Boys Watch Footy. I know we've been on a nice little hiatus, but this is also our season finale. So I wanted to give us out with a bang for 2025. Got Waja coming back from finishing Kilimanjaro. How's it going, buddy?
Yes, indeed, man. You know, thank you, thank you, thank you. Made it to the mountaintop, you know, and I saw everything I needed to see, which included a win, a league win for us. I made it to the top, and that's why I foresee it from the clouds.
What a win it was! We had the North London Derby. As our listeners know, we are huge Arsenal fans ourselves. But I want to thank everybody for giving us some tune-ins. Thank you for liking. Thank you for subscribing. If you're new here, please like and subscribe. We really appreciate it for Dem Boys Watch Footy. Trying to give you all the great things within soccer analysis, all the amazing things that really come with the sport within the U.S. as well as the globe. Yeah, kind of want to dive right truly into an amazing, amazing North London Derby for Arsenal fans. Terrible if you're a Tottenham fan. Can't believe what I watched from their coach. But Waj, where do you want to start? Do you want to talk about how amazing Eze was? Do you want to talk about the amazing turn and goal that from Marino to Trossard to open the game? Do you want to talk about the negative tactics that Thomas Frank had throughout the match? Do you want to talk about how Zubimendi, he's given up 3 of our 5 goals this season because of an error based off of his play? Where do you want to start?
Man, actually, I don't want to start with any of those things. I want to start with finally having a good TIFO.
Right, right. That's true. That's
what I want to start. I'm like, yo, I woke up to a new Arsenal yesterday, I felt like. I want to start with that because it showed the spirit of going into the match. That this was, you know, for all terms, of, you know, for all purposes, it was a bit of a different mood going into it. You know, you and I felt the vibe when we got to the pub. Shout out to the 14th and 1st Gooners and all that. But you know, we felt the vibe there. We could see it when we were checking what was going on in London, and we could hear it in the stadium. And I think that TIFO was so aptly created for such a big, massive match, right? That like everyone showed up for this one. So.
Yeah, Sol Campbell for this match was a very good touch. Like, you got to see all of the Arsenal legends. But then Sol Campbell, that is just a perfect touch, especially because everybody knows about his history transfer from Tottenham over to Arsenal. So that was a nice little subtle jab, you know?
It really was, especially with the, you know, with having him. He, you know, he's made multiple comments as they have in the smirk. You know, there was so many little things that I think we can read into and we can overread into them. And I love doing it because I'm just going down the doom scrolling and the rabbit hole of internet theories behind certain things that happened yesterday.
Yeah.
But I think it was such a special day for not just for Eze, and we'll get onto him in a second, but for Leandro Trossard. I mean, he has just been having the most standout season. And to think that he was going to almost be transferred and sold last year. He was very much out, you know, one foot out the door. And, you know, he's come back. Arteta, you know, has said that, you know, he really was vocal that he wanted him to stay. And clearly, this was a matter of trust in the process because Arteta saw something that we did not see.
Yeah.
So he's been performing, but nothing like what he's done in the matches so far this season. So I think, you know, for that goal specifically, just with that beautiful love for Marino, getting on the Arteta's foot, turning the way he did, and just scoring it in that fashion was just chef's kiss.
Yeah, it was. Trossard is our most clinical finisher. at Arsenal. It can completely be seen. Like that goal that he had against Sunderland to get us up 2-1, where it was just top.
Yeah. Poof.
Like you can tell how good of a shooter he is, how he likes to place the ball. And you can see how the team responds around him. That's one thing that I've never really seen. Like I remember at the beginning of, I want to say the 24 to 25 season, where you got to see his body language and you could see like he got tired of being subbed on and subbed off of Martinelli. And there was this one match against Aston Villa where he was, you could see body language wise, he just wasn't in it. He scored, he did his goggles celebration, but his body language was just like defeated. And that's where the rumors came. He wasn't really trying to be at Arsenal anymore. He wanted to have standout football. And he had a really arduous year last season. Like, even though he scored, he was still like, a lot of people were just really testing, like, does he want to still play for the club? There were a few rumors that he had some bids over the summer. And just being able to see like how he was able to quiet the noise, he signed one more year with Arsenal, got a nice little pay bump before the season started. And this is possibly his final season with the club. And if he goes out on a high of winning some trophies, it'll be amazing to see. But right now, just enjoying the greatness that he has had, you know, it's pretty nice. A nice little redemption story, especially because everyone really wanted Mudryk. And we settled for Trossard.
It's the irony, right? The irony of all of it. Like, yo, we weren't even supposed to have you, and look what you've done for us.
Exactly.
And, you know, and after his goal yesterday, I think this was just one of those, you know, funny stats that I was so happy to read, that after his goal against Spurs yesterday, he now has scored more goals than Ryan Giggs against the Big 16.
Wow. I mean, those years in Brighton, it makes sense. Like, he was destroying people at Brighton for a little bit.
Right?
That's a good stat. I mean, I got another good stat for you. 1978, first North London Derby hat trick since 1978. Who is that player called? Let me see. Eberechi Eze. My goodness.
Now, who?
That man, he's a bad man, you know.
Tell us how you felt about all that. I mean, just as the performance, the debut, what was going through your head at the end of the match after seeing all that?
I mean, I could not stop singing Let It All Work Out. I even sung it like right before I fell asleep. I had Sampha on. I was like, you know what? This is a good way to just pass out. It was such a well done Sunday. You could tell as soon as he got the ball on that third minute strike from Declan Rice, where he just caught it so sweetly. And Vicario made an amazing save. I'll give him that. Like, he made an amazing save for that one. But the first goal in the 41st minute, you were like, okay, something's brewing. We're up 2-0. Got it. When he got that second one, 30 seconds into the second half, I was like, and he runs over and he does the Dennis Bergkamp smirk. Like, a lot of people can understand that. That one came from Bergkamp. That wasn't like an Henri homage. That was a Bergkamp homage. He just puts his hand over his mouth and smirks over and then goes back under. Like, that was an amazing one. And like you were talking about, for the third one, after he scored that, and Vicario probably should have saved that one. Like, that, it was an amazing shot, but he probably should have saved it. People want to say that there was also a hint of offsides just because you had three Arsenal players pass the ball, pass the men, the Tottenham players, and usually that gets called. But they had nothing to do with the play. So I'm glad that that wasn't called off for that one. But for the third one, and you were talking about going down the rabbit hole, like, he does the jersey on off celebration, making fun of Richarlison. I was like, these are the times that we prayed for, just to batter a squad like this, batter a rival like this. I was
seriously
amazed at how well it all worked out during this match. Like, Odegaard being out, a lot of people have questioned does he truly fit within the system? Is central midfield, attacking midfield, his actual preferred position within Arteta's system? Is he better on the left, especially after the England international, where Phil Foden, amazing pass, I guess, but Eze was top bin for that one. So it was a lot of questions coming into this match based off of a lot of media outlets that I've seen. I've always understood his quality, just watching him for Crystal Palace over the years. Like, you could see he's really grown and developed his way of being an attacker, just stamping his authority on matches. Seeing that within the North London Derby, Ian Wright said it best, like, you score in that derby, you're loved forever. And I really love the kid. It was legend status. Yeah, it was amazing. It was amazing. What did you think?
I was so damn happy, man. I mean, at one point, you know, at the bar, I think I just took it in. Everybody was singing and I just kind of stood by myself, even in that crowd of people. And I just was like, and it's same thing you, let it all work out was playing in my head. And I was just kind of standing there like, yeah, happy Sunday. You know, like you really couldn't give me anything better than that, except for maybe a clean sheet.
Yeah.
But, you know, gotta give Richarlison something to give Big Gabby to make fun of Richarlison for. So I'll take that. But that was honestly, that was one of the best derbies that I've seen in a very long time. And it was, which says a lot, because we've had some really fun matches. And
That 5-2 derby match, that it always just pops into my head, like the Lamella Rabona goal. But then right after that, it's just battering. And I'm just like, Arsenal has had a lot of good wins. I would say the lowest point was when Arteta lost 3-0 against Tottenham, probably in that, I want to say, either his first full season in charge. That one was like, wow, that I wasn't calling for him to be out. I think that was when you started calling for him to be gone. But I was starting to have some tactical questions in my head. And I was like, you know what? No, we need to give this guy, because I can actually see what he's trying to do with this squad. But speaking about that clean sheet, I got to talk about Zubimendi for a second. Puskas potentially award goal. Like, I was not expecting that when the ball came off of his foot. I saw Declan Rice try to score a goal like that last week against Sunderland. Mm-hmm. I saw over the summer when they were playing over in East Asia, the North London Derby for the first time over there. That's how they won the game against us over the summer in the friendly. It's like, oh, wow. The only way that they can shoot against us is to shoot at half field, and it usually goes in because Raya is always off of his line. I got to say, Zubimendi, I know you like to play and carry the ball and you try to carry the transition, but sometimes it's okay to pass back or pass forward and just dump the ball out of there. Like, trying to run your way out of space within the Premier League is just not going to work. I know it's his first season within, so these are growing pains that we're going to have to deal with, especially because he's been so good. But, like, he's been a direct contributor for 3 of our 5 goals let in, his mistakes, his fouls. So it's something to really look out for in the future within the rest of this EPL season, how he kind of just continues to learn his way within the Premier League and continues to work his way within the system.
Yeah, I would completely agree with you there. Like you said, you know, yes, he's made these mistakes. And, you know, they're kind of Mickey Mouse mistakes to make, but it is his first year in the Prem and learning that we can't just, you know, dribble his way through these problems. He's got to play back. He's got to be a bit more technical there. So let's hope that he figures this out before the end of the season. He doesn't give us a big, you know, he don't cost us in some massive way. You know, we've got Bayern in 2 days, and that's the type of game. Even Chelsea this weekend where, you know, he will likely be playing. And that's the type of mistakes that we can't afford.
Yeah.
Particularly against the Champions League. You know, hopefully he recognizes it, because I'm sure Raya read in the Riot Act. So, like, yo, you lost me my clean sheet, my guy. Yeah. So, I mean, I would be pissed about that.
Oh, completely agree. I mean, before we just give too much over to Arsenal, the Hincapié starting over Gabriel and putting in an amazing shift. You have just amazing.
Whoa. Before we, he didn't start over Gabriel. Gabriel's still.
He started. He started for
Gabriel's injured for 2 months.
He started over Mosquera. Okay, my bad. Yes. Mosquera, it was the one that everybody was looking at, and Hincapié, even though he's on loan, he was literally brought in to be the understudy for Gabriel, bringing him in to be the starter for the first match. It's kind of crazy to see, and I was really calling for it because I really like his style of play. Like, I feel as though he is also a great complement for Saliba. Saliba likes to be a little bit more rash. And Hinkapie, he can also be a little rash, but he knows how to step back too. He's also really good in the air. We saw him winning all of his duels. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he does on Wednesday. If he does start again for, well, he most likely will start again for Gabriel, unless Mosquera, DeSasa have a say within it. But other than that performance, I want to talk about Marino. Him deputizing again as striker, the man knows how to play that false nine position to a T. Mm-hmm. I really like that for him. We're starting to get our subs back. It was really nice to see Noni and Martinelli and Ethan get on. So there's a lot of great things. But I want to shift over to the Tottenham side. Choo choo blood. What's going on with Thomas the Frank?
Dude.
What is going on? Like,
yo,
reading all of the Tottenham supporters, everybody is still pining for Ange. I need y'all to stop. He's not coming back. Like, he was great.
Nah, man. You kicked him out.
He was great for what they needed, but you gotta look at what can happen in the future, not keep looking at your past. The honeymoon is already over for Thomas Frank. It's really tough to say, but where do you see the rest of the season, especially after these two large London Derby defeats against Chelsea and against Arsenal?
Well, I mean, I'd say the only thing I can say, which would be in Mr. Frank's saving grace, is that at least they gave Big Ange a bit more time.
Yeah.
Because just these losses, you know, no bueno, especially coming off of the great season they had last year, but of course, yeah, you know, winning silverware. But he definitely doesn't have a lot of time. You know, this is also World Cup year, so I think the pressure on him is massive. And there's just so many changes going on at Tottenham, you know, even in the executive level. But the biggest mistake, the biggest shock for me yesterday was the lineup. Like, what was he even thinking? I mean, I remember seeing that go up, and I think I looked back at you, and I was like, "Am I reading this wrong? No, what are you doing?"
Yeah, he went way too defensive.
He went way too defensive.
Yeah,
and you know, Arsenal's just going to keep on pushing and pushing and pushing.
Yeah.
And come on, now it's us. Like, we're gonna give you everything, and it's home. Like, that you couldn't just sit back on us and just let your little boys, especially with as many injuries as they had, to their starting 11. We do too. But I mean, yeah, but they've had mad injuries, and then they're trying to play defensive too, instead of actually trying to bring the heat. I mean, you've got Richarlison as your striker, and yes, he scored one against us, but still, I wasn't really scared. But
Knowing that
they didn't have Xavi Simons, knowing that they didn't have all these players on, and they were playing.
I don't want to hear that. He had 45 minutes to put a shift in. He's also like their big summer buy who's supposed to replace Eze.
Very disappointing.
So, yeah, he was disappointing. He's just a smaller guy within the Premier League. It's going to take watching some of these German Bundesliga attackers. It's very difficult to see where they're going to start like doing well within the Premier League. You have Wotamendi over at Newcastle killing it because he has the striker profile of a Premier League player.
Yep.
Compared to what I'm seeing with Wirtz and Xavi, it's not looking great for them as attackers because they're getting easily pushed off the ball. They're not looking up to speed 100%. In the Premier League. So when you're buying as a Premier League club, really like dive deep into your analysis for
the new word of the day, analysis.
For anything that is going on with German attacking, Bundesliga attacking players, because it is very tough to see like the good things that are going to be happening with them, you know?
I'm sorry, bro. Yes, and to all those points, but a 12-year-old novice of FIFA could have told Thomas Frank that was not a bad tactic. Oh, that was not a good tactic.
Yeah, but he's learning with what he has.
Shame on him.
But
choo-choo, blood. Back to the station you go.
Also, think about it like this. One thing that we saw that really helped out Tottenham within the Super Cup was them playing that defensive and letting the game come to them and then breaking on attack. That's how they got that lead. And then it just, they weren't able to withstand it. They lost in penalties. Now, the one thing that we didn't see in this match, like we saw in that earlier match over the summer, well, beginning of the season, was them get the goal first because they couldn't stay that compact against Arsenal. Arsenal was coming wave after wave after wave, and then we broke them down for the one over the top, and then after that, it was wave after wave again.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you have to change your tactics. And I'm sure he tried to change his tactics at halftime, and then suddenly, Eze scores.
Yeah, he did. He went from a 6 to a 4, and Eze scored in 45 seconds. I'm sure he just was like, damn. So how much do you want to question your plan at that point? So yeah. I think at that point they were just defeated.
Yeah, it was a defeated match. It's going to be very interesting to see what they have to do. They're coming up this week against a pretty big club in PSG. So
we'll see. It's not getting easier. Like,
yeah, it's not getting
easier. Now you just got Dembele and these guys running at you. So like,
yeah,
enjoy.
So yeah, we'll truly see what happens with this club, but it is not looking good for Tottenham's manager, Thomas Frank. All right, on to the next one. Manchester United. Oh my goodness. TC is not here to defend the honor of his club, but watching.
Ivan S. Oof. That was tough.
One of
tough
the craziest red cards I've ever seen in my life. Idrissa Gana Gueye decides to slap his own teammate in Michael Keane, and he gets the red card. I thought it was just like you could just interact with your own team, but like the ref deemed it wrong.
Nah, son, he slapped him in the face, and then he Will Smithed him. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
But that was ridiculous. Yeah, it was mad early. So I missed the slap. Just once again, I've missed the slap. Once again. But I mean, I thought, you know, obviously I saw the replays and everything, just was like, God damn, that's gonna hurt.
But then after he gets kicked off, Manchester United, you would think would be a shoo-in to win. But Dewsbury Hall in the 29th minute decided to have a different
beautiful
save.
So, beautiful.
Had an amazing counterattack goal against Manchester United. And they were able to hold on the entire match 1-0. Waj, what do you think about this match? Like, what's going on with this squad, Manchester United?
So the first of the Dewsbury Hall goal was just a thing of beauty. Just the whole build-up play of it was absolutely fantastic. The shot was fucking just was fire. It was a rocket. I just absolutely loved it. The celebration, the whole thing was exactly what you want to see out of football. It's, you know, just as a hate watch, that was perfect for me. Now, Man U, I mean, they came with the heat. I've got to say, I mean, everyone, we felt like everybody on the team was taking a chance. Even Lammens, even the goalkeeper was trying to get a ball in. But, you know, Jordan Pickford was playing one of those games.
Yeah.
He was like, you shall not pass. I mean, nothing was getting past him, bro. It was ridiculous. He was jumping up and down like a grasshopper, bro. It was crazy. So,
well, this is why people still question, like, why is Pickford England's number one? These are the matches. This is exactly why.
When he plays like this, it was mad. I think that very deserved, especially playing with 10 men down, that they could actually survive that. But honestly, I thought that Man U were gonna break through. I mean, they threw everything.
Plus, they
didn't sink at Everton, and they just could not break through Jordan Pickford and the defense. So sucks for them, but I mean, I'm laughing about it.
I mean, when you look at it, it's absurd to see a squad like Manchester United who's on the up and up, and they got so close to breaking that five game winning run. And
everybody just wants to see this boy cut his hair, you know?
Yeah, that kid's never cutting his hair. Just get the money, just get the bag of Head and Shoulders or another shampoo company, and just keep it moving.
For real.
Be like Troy Polamalu of England. It is okay. but Manchester United, I'm really looking at some big, I know a lot of fans, especially because this game was at Old Trafford, like I know a lot of fans completely pissed off, like, Xerxes, what were you doing? Like, you finally had a chance to start after the season, like Šeško has been taking your spot, and you come up with a dud, especially in a match where the squad is man down. But it then begs the question, again, I know this came up before and TC has pushed back against me, but hey, formations, sometimes you need to tweak. And if you can't tweak against the smaller clubs, like changing up your entire way how you want to attack, something's up. I know you want to say like you know exactly what you need with some of these squads, but that is not acceptable, especially for a squad that's only playing one game a week. So I don't know what else Manchester needs to do, but they really got to find some form if they want to be able to get back into Europe next season. All right. More Premier League roundup. Let's go with the destruction over at Anfield. I don't know what is going on with Arne Slot. He only lost 4 matches in all competitions last season, and now he's already lost 6 matches just within the Premier League. He's been knocked out of the Carabao Cup. FA Cup hasn't started, and they've lost. Have they lost a few matches in Champions League? I'm trying to
remember. Sheesh, actually, have they?
Let me check.
As I recall, I believe it's all just it's all been in the Prem. Just do a consultation for this one.
So Liverpool has...
They lost to Galatasaray.
Yeah, they lost to Galatasaray. So they only have 1 loss within the Champions League. But Arne Slot losing 3-0 to the Chondyche, the real big burly men of the Premier League now. Nottingham Forest, who were in the bottom of the league, bottom of the table. They were treading water. They fired 2 managers within 3 months. You let them go into your house and beat you 3-0.
Beat you down.
Last season, they did go into Liverpool and beat them last year 1-0. But they had to play the best football under Nuno that we've seen in a long time. And that was when we had to start taking Nottingham Forest seriously. This season, after going through Nuno, after going through Big Ange, and now getting Sean Dyche to try to run his course, especially now this is his first time getting to play in Europe with the squad, he was able to come over and just somehow beat a Liverpool team that actually had a full week of practice together with some of their players. And it's 3-0. What are you seeing, Waj? What is the issue that you're seeing right now with Liverpool? Is it fixable?
I think that's the big question. I've said it earlier this season that, you know, it's still early until Christmas. I think things are still early, but I mean, there is their position right now. What are they? 12? They're 12, right? With 18 points, they're a negative 2 goal difference. I think for them, even winning the league is now very much slipping out of their grasp. And it's highly unlikely. Can they make Europe? Sure, but there's definitely a lot of cracks that we didn't even see last season, right? I mean, Arne Slot had an amazing breakout, you know, freshman season with Liverpool, and now we're seeing all types of cracks. Yeah, we're seeing cracks across the team from defense all the way to the front. Salah's not having a great season. Van Dijk's not having a great season. It just feels like the team is disjointed. I was even reading an article today. And it was questioning, you know, even if there's a bit of a Diogo Jota effect to the team.
Yeah, we did bring that up before on the show. Like that, a lot of John Obi Mikel, I think, brought it up first from all of the pundits, and I really like to listen to his perspective. He has a very good way of talking about his personal experiences being a player, but also making sure like people understand where some of these players' heads could be as a media pundit now. And he did bring up, like, a lot of people are probably still a little down after Diogo Jota's passing and haven't really had a chance to properly grieve, you know?
No, absolutely not. So I think it's a combination of all of those things. You know, there was flying on such a high that, you know, perhaps now that, you know, things have slowed down, it's almost like they're looking at their, almost like a new manager again.
Yeah.
And this new team. And just, you know, they also spent a lot of money. So with a lot of money, they have a lot of disappointments for their new buys. Yeah. So I think, like I said, in the beginning, it's a litany of things that are you know, it's a bit of a snowball effect. I think it was one or two things, and now what was a bit of a pebble is now going to be starting an avalanche, possibly for Liverpool. Let's wait to see what happens through the new year, and I think by January 1, if they've not pulled things out around by the end of the year, then I think it's time to make room for that number one spot.
That's a big one. I was thinking that you were about to say Arne Slot was supposed to be released by the end of the season. I was like, you heard it here, folks.
I don't think Liverpool will do that.
Premier League, then just his leg for the next season. I don't know. That's a big one, but
I think he's gonna have to make. I think he's gonna have to make quite a few more mistakes. But if he doesn't, turn around the ship quickly with the quickness, my friend.
Yeah.
Like this man is the Flash. Yeah. Then you know they're gonna be. I mean, they're not gonna be in Europe, which means that he's out of a job.
Yeah. Very true. Very true. I mean, some things that I'm thinking about. You have the Kanate row, which he's flirting with going to Real Madrid. Is he still thinking about that? Is he just abiding his time until he's able to leave on a free transfer? And that's where his mind is. You can see right now him and Virgil are very disjointed in how they defend.
Yeah. Yes.
Also, we can't even blame the wingbacks anymore. I know how people love to talk about how bad Trent was in defense, but it wasn't this bad on the right side. Connor Bradley, Frimpong, sometimes Szoboszlai. Like, what's going on these wings? Kirkez is... He looked amazing over for Bournemouth last season. He's looking a fish out of water right now on the left-hand side. Roberson, he's been coming in just to deputize, but you can tell he's long in the tooth now. Like, he's not doing the things that you need him to do as a left back for that scheme. I love it, but Isak, I wanted him for Arsenal over Gyökeres, but then I looked at it and I was like, you know,
the irony. Once again,
anything can happen. And even though Gyökeres is currently injured, currently tending, Isak is a very oft injured player. I thought the Hugo Ekitike move was brilliant. Getting both was insane. And then at the very beginning of the season, that win streak when they first started off the year, you were like, oh, this team is like poised for greatness. And then just completely have fallen off. Verts, we've already talked about. Salah, I don't know what's going on. It just looks like he's old and tired now after signing that new deal. He is completely just like, you know what? All I have to do is run. He's not getting the service that he's normally used to, and that might be affecting him. What's on? Not having Luis Diaz, I feel, also hurts. Thinking about also Darwin Nunez, they have no reason to complain about missing goals. You have two better strikers than Darwin Nunez, but I mean, right now it's not looking really great in your striking department.
They can't do it. Yeah, we did it again. Like I said, they're a negative two. Negative two by game 12? My God.
It's a myriad of issues, and I'm not really seeing the light at the end of the tunnel for Liverpool. I mean, they have champion pedigree. They have literally gone to the summit.
Yes, so they have.
We'll see where they finish. I'm thinking they finish probably within that fifth to sixth spot at the end of the season. If not, yeah, I can see them like going on a nice little Christmas break to about February run where they solidify themselves back in the top half. But I think the league is gone for them. I don't think it's really in the cards for them this season, which is crazy to think. Like, you go from champion to struggling to make Europe. So we'll see what happens.
Only in the beautiful game, my friend.
Yeah. And then the last match that we want to harp on is one of our title rivals. We have Manchester City being defeated against Newcastle. The Newcastle Toons from Tyneside getting a 2-1 win. It was a very interesting one. Pep Guardiola was deciding to fight against the cameraman. You know how infamous his fights are against inanimate things.
Yeah.
I just think things are unraveling. Phil Foden ghosted again. But amazing pass that he had over the European break. So, I don't know. But watching this game, Newcastle really needed that win. They were in 15th in the league, and that win really shot some life back into him. But Manchester City, my goodness, what is going on with them? Without Haaland, if he doesn't score or like dominates, they're done.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the issue we've been seeing for a while, right? I think we saw these cracks last season. And then, you know, they've definitely been more resurgent. I mean, Haaland's been on a tear this year. But back to your point, if Haaland doesn't score, what do we do, guys? And granted, Ruben Diaz scored in this match. Still, people have cracked the code.
Yeah.
I think that's finally what it is. And, you know, just following Pep for so long, he always gets to this one season where you see the demise of the team. And then that's when he usually decides to make that move and, you know, find a new challenge, a new project. Is that this time right now? I don't know.
Well, he said this is his last managerial job, so we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, but he also, you know, put a little bit more time on. I mean, I thought he was going to leave last year, but, you know, he's still going. So, yeah, I just, I personally feel like this is going to be a difficult season for them as well. But they're still, I mean, they're doing better than Liverpool, obviously. But the cracks are definitely showing. The writing's definitely on the wall.
Oh, for sure.
It's time for a new revolution.
Yeah. what I see normally with this squad is, I mean, we've seen Manchester City dominate for 6 years straight. And like that turnover, we didn't think was going to be this harsh, but they're weak in midfield and they haven't really replaced it. You can see how important Declan Rice is to Arsenal compared to if he had went to Manchester City, how much more powerful in the midfield they would be. It would be stronger within the midfield. They'd be able to protect some of their attacking talent a little bit better with work rate, defensive acumen, if they had gotten Declan Rice. So very happy that Arsenal were able to get that transfer. Mm-hmm. Because we see it now, just in the midfield battles. Manchester City, for so long, they had the fulcrum with Kevin De Bruyne, Bernardo Silva, and Rodri. Bernardo Silva could either play in attack or drop back to midfield, but he was always a big one. Even Kovacic got to get in on the action when he came over to win with City. So we're seeing that midfield, Reindeers, Nico Gonzalez, what we're seeing right now with Shirky. That squad is just not the strongest in the midfield, and it's really hurting them. And then as well, I got to say it again, Phil Foden, where you at, bro? Where you at?
Where you been? What it is, you know?
It's not good for you to keep fading in and out. But you are a player of the year within the Premier League. I know TC, I love to fight back on me on this one, but for a fact, he did win player of the year.
Mm-hmm.
You are looked upon to be able to deliver in big moments because you're supposedly the player that people believe was the most important player of that season. Yes, it's in a vacuum, but you're supposed to be able to parlay that into results. This is your team now. Haaland is the scorer, but now you just got to push through. Like, you got to be able to take this team, not fully on your back, because you do have a Ballon d'Or winner in Rodri who is hurt, but you're supposed to be able to put in some better performances than what we're seeing.
Yeah, 100%.
That's what I'm saying in City right now. It's just not looking great. So Chelsea is on the horizon. They are 6 points behind Arsenal, got a big match on Sunday. They won their match. It was a very nice ho-hum win for them. So,
yeah, it really was. So let's just get through this next week.
Exactly. All right, before we get on to our main topic of talking about the Champions League, we're going to give some love and some props to the NWSL winners in the Gotham FC. Ladies from New York, New Jersey.
Yeah.
These women were able to win in the 80th minute. It was a Rose Lavelle goal that was able to be the deciding factor in the NWSL championship this past Saturday. Really amazing to see that these women are consistently just like that great at football. Actually had the opportunity to go to a few matches over the summer to watch them up close and personal. That stadium is rocking for what I was at, and being able to see another champion another championship come through with them is pretty amazing for me to be able to experience. So very happy for those ladies. The storyline, I know that we had Mav, the filmmaker, on, and he would always talk about the storylines for the women's game, and that's how you get people on. So the storyline from the NWSL championship is from the Washington Spirit side. We don't know what Trinity Rodman is going to do, but right now it's a big fight to be able to keep her at the Washington Spirit or the NWSL in total. Right now, some big money moves are coming over from across the pond, and a lot of people think she's going to be gone. So, Waj, we'd love to hear from you. What do you think about Trinity's potential move away from the NWSL?
I mean, I think it's the only obvious move that she should be doing at this point in her career.
Really? You know, NWSL got a lot of talent.
It's got a fantastic talent, but it's time to go abroad. Time to go abroad and apply your skills abroad in one of the other leagues. And then, you know, she's got plenty of time to either, you know, come back to the States or stay in Europe and, you know, and you know, get some more championships. I mean, I think she's got a lot of options right now. And with time until the next World Cup, it's kind of perfect time for her to go and, you know, see if the grass is greener. Come over to England. Really? Oh, yeah. I would love to see her playing in the red and white for England. with a couple of other compatriots, or just seeing her honestly in England in general. But you know, let's be serious. If she decides to stay in the States and go to another team, I mean, she's gonna do fantastic. I think she's just in a very good position in her career right now, especially coming off the injuries. But you know, coming off that, you know, she was sidelined for quite a bit last year. So I think also maybe in her mind, you know, it's time for a fresh start where she can, you know, find a new place. You know, she's recovered and really just, you know, see this next chapter in her career. So yeah, I'm excited to see either way, wherever she ends up, it's gonna be, I think it'd be pretty interesting. With so many of our other teammates, with so many of our other teammates also going to the States, going to England, maybe it's a good time to go. Maybe Naomi Grummer's calling up, being like, yo, get on that, you know, get on that Arsenal kit so we can have our rivalry matches, you know?
No, man, I would love to see her in the red and white as well. I mean, seeing Alyssa Thompson over with Chelsea is something. Especially because she was able to get her first goal for the club against Arsenal. That was a really crazy derby match over with the Women's League in the UK. But bringing it back, it would be a huge blow, to Washington, because Washington, this is their second year in a row making it to the championship and losing. They lost last year to Orlando FC, to Marta. Mm-hmm. So that was a very Cinderella run for that squad. And we thought Trinity definitely should have been able to take honors back then. And then now their squad not even getting a goal in this match against Gotham FC, and Trinity, you see her at the end just like looking at the confetti and just walking off to her hubby, Ben Shelton. So it is definitely tough. I'm more of the ilk of trying to keep her in just for the growth of the game, but definitely understand like money opportunities don't come this far and wide often. And 100%. You've been an ambassador for the club. Sometimes you just got to do things for yourself and keep pushing, you know? So I agree, but it would be really, really tough, especially for a growing league like the NWSL, to keep losing star after star to continue to go. Like, that's one of the things that we've seen with MLS, this whole salary cap. Even though NWSL doesn't have a salary cap anymore, you do see like some issues still coming up because revenues aren't as high as people want them to be. And over in Europe right now, you can actually spend money. Barcelona could spend money. Real Madrid could spend money. Real Madrid's women could spend money. You have...
They're breaking records.
Yeah, exactly. You have PSG that can spend money. You have Arsenal and Chelsea that can be able to spend money. It's a lot of different opportunities for you to go and grow, but I don't think the level of play is that far off between Europe and NWSL, honestly, just because...
No, I agree with you there.
There's a lot of good players coming directly for NWSL.
Yeah, the margin is definitely getting smaller and smaller. But I just think, again, it's about, you know, finding a new challenge, getting paid what she's worth, and finding, you know, finding a new project, you know, to be out there that's, you know, also just going to upskill her before she has to, you know, get ready for the World Cup in 2 years.
Yeah.
Two and a half.
True. So love to hear from our listeners. What do you guys think about Trinity Rodman potentially leaving NWSL for another squad, either within MWSL or going over the pond to Europe? So love to hear from everybody.
And where would you like to see her go? Our listeners, dream scenario. Where would you want to see Trinity Rodman end up?
Agreed. All right, Champions League. We have some bangers this week. It's been the first time since the international break that we have Champions League back, so we get some of the best football matches left. Outside of Arsenal, Bayern, what match are you looking forward to the most this week, Waj?
Oh, so this week is actually, there's just so many matches. Obviously, the Arsenal one is for obvious reasons, is my most important, not just being a fan, but it's time for that revenge arc.
Yeah.
But I'm very interested in the Chelsea-Barca match.
Very much so.
I think that one would be a big test for Chelsea, especially seeing as we're playing them next. It's not an easy week for either of us. So I think it's just in general, for the two matches we have coming up from either of us, it's just going to be a bit of, you know, who's going to be able to be standing at the end of 90 minutes after Saturday. Liverpool PSV, I think that's going to be a good match purely because Liverpool need a statement win.
Yeah.
And they're going to be playing against the Dutch side. self on his slot. That could be pretty interesting.
Yeah.
They should win it. But if they don't, then, you know, like I said, the cracks are showing. Man City, Leverkusen. That one, it's not the highest on my list, but again, statement win for Man City. I think it's vital for them to come out with that, just with a definitive win. But I think Atletico versus Inter is going to be one of my most anticipated games. That's really going to be a clash of styles. And so that one's definitely going to be, you know, definitely one to keep your eye out on. And then lastly is PSG Tottenham. That one is going to be, as we said before, what can Thomas Frank do? Can he actually bring this back and kill the kings of Europe? You know, I don't think so. But you never know. So I think that'll be, there's so many good games this week. But the biggest one, I guess, you know, bring it all back to the, bring it all back, is the Arsenal match. It's the revenge arc. And it's after we've just taken out his former team, now we're coming for you, Mr. Harry Kane. So, and, you know, Bayern right now are on an amazing, amazing record this year, right? I mean, they're undefeated.
Yeah.
And they've just been carving out people left and right.
They just came back from 2-0 to win 6-2.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's a great time to go play them and see if Arsenal has what it takes to take on they're number one, we're number two in the table right now. So it's the number one versus number two spot. There's a lot of different emotions to be running high on Wednesday for that one. What do you have? Which ones are you looking out for?
So outside of the Arsenal-Bayern match, I'm looking at two specific matches that are near and dear to my heart.
Okay.
Tottenham versus Monaco. Because that is the return of Paul Pogba. I'm really, really happy to see him back on the pitch. He's got an opportunity to make it to the World Cup if he does well. Monaco is still in Champions League, so if he can keep them into the next round, very excited for his opportunity to try to make it to the World Cup for one last time. Thanks. Paul Pogba went in for France. Like, some of those assists that he had in that World Cup campaign were just amazing. So want to see that. Napoli versus Carabag FK. Now, this is a crazy one, but Carabag, they play really well. And Napoli, Conte has a really, really hard time winning in Europe. Ooh. In his training sessions, he runs his team ragged. Now, Carabag, the reason why I bring them up is specifically they had the 2-2 draw against Chelsea. Now, Carabag, we played against them in Europa a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. And they played us pretty hard at two legs. And it took, like, especially in their home match, it took like a 8-minute goal that got us through after the first round. And then the second round, we got back at the Emirates and were able to run ragged. But Carabag, I think, are a good squad, especially for this type of campaign. I was in the Champions League where it's a full season. People don't know how to play against you, and you can bring it to a lot of different teams. So really looking at that one. Marseille and Newcastle. Marseille, Tim Weah, also a friend of the show, really happy for him and his continued success over with Marseille. So really excited about that match, especially because Newcastle trying to get back into the swing of things. So really want to see that. But bringing it all back to that Arsenal versus Bayern match, it is going to be very important for Arsenal to be able to get something early in this match, be able to bring the game to Bayern, because Bayern knows how to attack. Elise versus Eze is a very great Crystal Palace little subplot going on. Yep, who's the best of the Wunderkind? And then you have Harry Kane, who loves to score banger after banger after banger against Arsenal. So you have that one as well. And Vincent Kompany versus Mikel Arteta. Who's the better Guardiola? A better Guardiola disciple right now. Kompany, he had his time with Burnley to like get himself acclimated, and then he got this big move all the way away to Bayern. While Arteta, his first and only job so far has been as a first team manager, has been with Arsenal. So really excited to see how that kind of plays out. So really excited for the little subplots and the little storylines from there, but. Love to hear what everybody's thoughts are on these matches. Where do you see after match day 5? The table is really starting to kind of come together now. Only the first 8 slots get directly through. Everyone else from 9 to 24 have to be a part of those knockout stages. So really excited to see how things kind of come together from here.
Most definitely.
Yeah. But want to thank everybody again for giving Dem Boys Watch Footy some love this season. It was a very, very long and fun season, but we are going to go to hibernate, try to retool, get better before the World Cup, come to you with some dope types of content over this summer period. So it won't be full long form, but you might see some small things sprout up from here and there. So
keep your eye out.
Yeah, I want to thank everybody again for giving us some love to Dem Boys Watch Footy. We could not have done this without you all. It's been amazing seeing like our small operation starting to grow like some legs and fly a little bit. Now, if we can develop the community, that piece of it, please join the Discord, Dem Boys Watch Footy. Please join that. We can have some very good discussions in there, bring them to life throughout the entire pod. So we'll love to have you guys there. But again,
before we leave, massive shout out to just the squad who joined us this season. TC, Crystal, Jordan, I mean, Mav. We had so many people on with us. Who else we got a shout out for? Dinesh. We got so many people. Dinesh,
always a good time. We've had a lot of good people on the show. Marley, always a pleasure to have Marley on. Yeah, just like making sure that we had on some really good people over this entire season this year. I want to thank everybody again for being able to give us some love and some support and just giving like that little bit of madness to Dem Boys Watch Footy. But for Waj, for E, for the squad over here, y'all have a good holiday season. Thank you all again for giving Dem Boys Watch Footy a listen.
Till the next time.